Let's get to Brett McGonigal. He is chairman and CEO at Capital Link. We're looking at markets. Brett joins us from here in New York. Boy, I'm telling you what, the shivers that the crypto meltdown sent through a lot of risk assets today. How much do you think has to do with the notion of forced liquidation, which is to say, if you need to raise money in some strange way because of a bet that has gone sour, that you sell equities? Is that a part of this narrative in any way, Brett?
I mean, I guess it certainly could be. You know, the old adage is sell what you can and not what you must. But thinking about it in a much broader sense, I'm not so sure that it had that big of an impact on the equity markets today as it relates to having to sell assets. But I do think that there's a sentiment, a negative sentiment that goes along with it, which is that, you know, once things start to seem to be back to normal, you know, the elections are behind us and we're looking to the trends that you normally get in the year following a midterm election, all of a sudden you have this new negative headline around. So I think it may have been more of a sentiment driver than forced liquidation.
What is the future of the crypto sector now? We had Jim Chanos telling Bloomberg earlier there's going to be a judicial outcry, his words, regulation is coming. What do you anticipate?
Yeah, so I mean, look, I've not been a supporter of the movement. I've been very critical of it, not because I don't want it to succeed, but more because I just don't understand the need for it right now. But let's take a broader look at it and say that this is the number two exchange in the world next to Binance, and nobody had any idea what was under the hood. So I think that there's call for a huge amount of regulation. And I've always thought that the US regulators, especially the SEC, would have to get involved when it starts to impact the retail investor in the United States. And it seems like it's pretty close to home now.
So if you look at things like capital requirements, a lot more, you know, a top-down pressure to get your house in order, could we see a lot of consolidation in this industry? I mean, fewer players, larger size?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's the logical next step, but I don't really know what that does where they are today. And the reason I say that is that, I mean, these are the two biggest exchanges in the world. And I don't know how big. I think Coinbase may be three, and then, you know, on to the next ones after that. But I think the next ones after that all combined don't add up to much. So, this also could have been, you know, a master game of chicken played by CZ, which is once you put the blood in the water, the fate is already kind of sealed. And that's the scary part, right? I mean, look, there are rumors that circulate in the equity markets, and they do tend to move stocks, but very seldom do we see stocks bankrupted overnight.
And Brett, I just want to get your thoughts on inflation and the Fed's next move. We do have those inflation numbers coming out in the U.S. tomorrow, American time. What do you anticipate? And I know that you think maybe we're going to see some easing next year.
Yes, I do. So I think the number may be in the bull camp tomorrow. I think we probably get below 7.9. I think anything with a 7 handle has some sort of sentimental value to the market. But I think we've probably reached peak inflation at this point. So I think you'll get, you know, some sense of maybe some of the hawkish tone may come down a little bit. As we look into the rate rise, the frenzy of 75, or even the ideas of 100 that were floating around in the summer, you know, those things start to get walked back. I think we get back to more conventional talk about it.
Now, doesn't the walking back run the risk of reinflating assets? If you buy this idea that part of the tightening of financial conditions includes lower stock prices, doesn't the Fed really have to thread the needle here in the language?
I think they do. We've been looking for them to thread the needle for years. it hasn't been an accomplishment that they could post, in my opinion, on the scoreboard. So I wouldn't look for something to be, that exact. What I do think, though, is that they've used both, the actual mechanism of rate raises and the tone of their voice and the speak to be, you know, a very, very hawkish and you know, very loud tone. I don't necessarily think that, you know, markets, you know, re-rate overnight on any walk back. But I do think it breathes a fresh breath air and allows people to reassume some sort of a vantage point that, you know, gives them a more positive outlook for the next few months.
Where are you putting money to work right now? Do you look at U.S. markets or are you eyeing off offshore opportunities?
Yeah. So look, I don't enjoy being, you know, just having a one track mind of, you know, buying the U.S. and buying mega cap. But I think at this point in time, if you look around the globe, and you look at the prospects, I think that you've got to start where, you know, where the rubber meets the road with the monetary policy. And that certainly is the Fed right now. I think if you look at some of the mega cap stocks and what's happened to them, you know, they've really been washed out. And whether we like it or not, there are a huge impact on the actual indexes that everyone reads on a daily basis, which, you know, obviously is a driver of sentiment. So I think that you'll see the mega caps move first. They'll have an outsized impact, I think, on the mind of the investor, because they'll move the indexes quicker because they're such a large component. So I think that's where the rally starts here. And, you know, you know, as all the people at Bloomberg know, I've been a long-term China bull. I'm very cautious right now to jump back into that market. I think there's so much, there's too much uncertainty right now. So I think you have to keep the trade in the U.S. right now until you see some other pockets outside of it outperforming. Then I would take a look at those. But I don't think that that's going to be the first move. I think the U.S. moves first. And then you get spillover.
But I'm wondering, I mean, if we can agree that there is still going to be less liquidity, that the Fed is going to continue in that mission, doesn't that run the risk of maybe creating further downside in some of these big cap, these mega tech names?
You know, I think that conventional wisdom would say, you know, lack of, you know, drawing down liquidity and pulling back liquidity would have an effect across the board. My gut says that the effect is more in the growth names. I think that's where the cheap cash was flowing and, you know, helicopter money or whatever you want to call it was chasing those names. I think, you know, the no revenue growth story is done for good. So I think that, that's probably the space that gets hurt if people have to choose between growth or mega cap. And I just think the mega caps are household names. They're easy. They're in every end. You know, they're very easy to get your hands around and your head around. And I think that is where the reflation goes.
All right, Brett McGonigal, Chairman and CEO at Capital Link. Thanks so much for joining us on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.